It is better to fail in inventiveness than to thrive in imitation. This is Dr. Herbert Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. It is better to fail in inventiveness than to thrive in imitation. Today, we're going to talk about making love. So many people are very inventive in making love. So many people are very imitative in making love. They want to make love just like everybody else does. And it falls real short when they do that. When you're inventive and when you're creative, then your lovemaking is really spectacular. Now, you wonder what I'm going to be talking about. You think, my goodness, is he going to give us a talk on sex? Is he going to give us a talk on relationships, on how we should work with each other, how we should get along, how husbands and wives should enjoy their relationship in its fullest and best? And the answer is no. I'm going to give you a few suggestions on my life with Rex. My life with Rex is a falling in love relationship. And you can't help but love the little critter when he is just 8 weeks old and snuggly and cuddly and just a little ball of fuzz and just wanting to always be loved and snuggled and loved and snuggled and snuggled and loved, and you just can't get rid of him sometimes, you know. You don't try very hard either. But how do you love a dog? Now, Rex is a year plus a couple months old, and a big boy, like a very big boy, and he's called a large dog. Not a Great Dane, but he's a large dog. And Rex is still a teenager in terms of years, but think about him. Rex wants to love, and he's always loving, and he's always snuggling, and he's always putting his head in your hand, and always putting his body against you, and he's always wanting to lie near you, or close to you, or on top of your feet, or, you know, he wants to wash your feet, or whatever he wants to do. And it has nothing to do with whether your feet need it or not. It's just a matter that it's a matter of sharing love. Well, now, when I'm with Rex, I have work I like to do too. You know, he lives in my house, or our house. And so I'm sitting at my computer, and I'm working away, and he brings his toy and lays it in my lap. He says, "Dad, it's playtime." I said, "Rex, it's playtime all the time with you." But I play with him for a few minutes, and then I go back to my work, and he brings a different toy. He thinks perhaps a different toy might bring me into the thought that I hadn't done it before. I mean, I'm into his ways of thinking, or maybe they're my ways of thinking. Well, one of the things about this is that when you love, when you really love, it does not matter if there is another person around or not. When you really love, as what I've always admired in Greg Mueller, one of our students, he's a farm boy and just a real fabulous lover. Whenever he comes into the house and there are any pets around, he immediately falls down on all fours. And he snuggles them, and he puts his head about them, and those dogs and cats, and whatever they may be, immediately fall in love with him. Now, he doesn't care that the rest of the people look at him and say, "What are you doing?" You know, "Well, you're to act more mature," you know. And he doesn't hear anything. All he hears is that these puppies, these cats, are there to be loved. And he forgets what he came here for. He came to visit me, you know? He came to visit me. But the dogs and cats take preference. He immediately falls down and enjoys their company, and does for quite a little while. And he rolls over with them, and they roll over with him, and he just has a great time. Well, now, that's not proper. He's supposed to be paying attention to me. He's supposed to be rolling over with me. But he gets around to that. Now, what is it that society thinks when they look at Gregor? At first, they look at him, and they say, what a playful kid, you know. Here he is, a man in his 40s, and he's a playful kid. Yeah, he's a playful kid. And he always will be, because he has a problem. And Gregor's problem is universal, although we don't all let it happen. Gregor's problem is that he loves animals. But first he loves himself. And he loves animals, and he wants to be with the animals. He doesn't want to show the animals he loves them. He wants to love them. He wants to get right down there and love them and snuggle them and hold them and caress them and play with them and be a wonderful being with him. Now, it doesn't matter where he is. And, of course, the same is true with me. Not quite to the advanced stage that Gregor is, but in a little bit. When I see dogs or cats, right away I feel very close to them. And Greg has this oneness with them, and then he has the oneness physically with them also. I often have the oneness with them mentally and spiritually, if you will, and I don't necessarily get down and snuggle them. But when I do, they melt too. And you see, this is what happens when we let go of all of our formality. We let go of all of our symbolism of what's the right way to do things and what's the right method to do things, and we just melt ourselves. And we just melt in the presence of this critter, and we say, wow, aren't you the sweetest little thing? Aren't you a lovely little thing? And sometimes they'll bite us. And we say to ourselves, now why did they bite us? And we don't realize that little kittens bite other little kittens when they're playing with them, when they're loving them. They don't mean to hurt them, but that's what they have to do. That's what they got the mouth there for, is to grab the other cat and a kitten and roll over and chase them and nip at their tails and do all these things. And so when our animal friends bite us, we sometimes think they don't like us. And really, that's not what it's all about, because we don't really want them biting us. But that's not what it's all about. That's part of their game of playfulness. Well, when I understand that, and I understand that I don't let them bite me, even in their playfulness. Rex has his big old paws as big as my arm, you know, and he puts it on my wrist and pets me. You know, he pets me. He pulls his paw backwards. And when he pulls his paw backwards, it sort of opens up all the bottom of his foot. So all that scratchy skin shows. If he shoves it forward, that's a nice paw. That's a nice pet. When he pulls it back, I get that scratch, and he rips my skin. And sometimes he takes his paw and puts it on my wrist, and he has his claws out, but he's not meaning to. They're just hanging there. And he draws it back, and there goes a big bloody spot again. I get done playing with Rex, and I look like I've been in battle somewhere. But it doesn't bother me. I just put something on it, and it heals up. I'm always healing. But it's a wonderful thing. Now, am I angry at Rex? Am I upset with him in any way? No. I just love him to pieces. Now, you see, when I am with Rex, when I go to pick him up, like today, I'll be going to the vet to pick him up. He's had a few little shots and stuff. So when I get back, or when I get there, Rex is going to see me, and he's going to say hi, as he always does. And so what am I going to do? Hi, kid, let's go home. You know, no way. You got to sit down for a minute and let him come to you, and you come to him, and then you hug him, and you snuggle him, and you tell him how much you love him, and you sound like a silly fool, you know, but it's what you really mean. You tell him how much you love him, you snuggle him, you caress his ears, you caress his big furry chest, And you say, wow, what a wonderful boy you are. What a handsome guy you are, you know. And he looks up and he says, of course, I know that. He says, but I got a handsome dad, too. You heard that now, didn't you? See, yeah. I got a handsome dad, too. You see, whatever we think, they think, they think. Whatever we think, they respond to. And so, you know, let's get our share in there. So, but I don't really care. I just love him, and he just wants to eat me up. He just snuggles me. I sit down on the bed to put my shoes on. He jumps up on the bed, puts his paws up on my back, puts his head on either side of my head and says, what are we going to do now? Where are we going? Are you getting your shoes on because we're going to take a walk? Are we going to have fun? You know, he knows exactly what he's doing, and he loves to doing it. So many times when I'm out in public, I'll just stop with him and give him a big hug. In fact, when I'm walking the meditation path, there are times that I don't want to always give him a treat, and so he will come when I call him, or he will come when he calls me, and then he'll stand there waiting for me to catch up to him. And then if I give him a treat, then he'll think that's what I really want him to do. So I do worse than that. I give him a big bend over hug, and I just wrap my body right around his and my arms around his chest and snuggle him and say, you're so wonderful, you're so fantastic. And then I straighten up, and he says, is that all? He's not done. He never gets enough of that wonderful stuff. Well, when I'm out in public, I do this too. And we don't, now just stop and think. Just stop and think. I do this, and I am not a demonstrative person in public. I hug and snuggle people, it's true. But I don't go around doing this to everybody. People think I'm crazy, but I go around doing it to everybody in our groups. And but I do it with Rex, and Rex does it with me. And other people sometimes think, gee, that's something, you know. Now, think about, what if a man and his wife would do that? They greet on the street, and they just surround each other and huggle each other. Not the sexual love, oh, the kissing, you'll get your lips right in there. You know, that's so stupid. Yeah, it's okay, but it's so stupid because it's a passionate love. It's, let's go to bed, let's go to bed, you know. And you don't think of going to bed with your dog. You just want to love him to pieces, and you want him to love you to pieces. And that love is unconditional love. That love is so grand. And when a man and a woman get together and do something, you know, right away they have this passion about it. And could they learn and enjoy this unconditional love? What a wonderful world we'd have, you know, a world of unconditional love, a world of people sharing with one another. And you see, a lot of parents don't hug and kiss in front of their children because they always hug and kiss passionately. They hug and kiss sexually. They want to have sex right away. And that's the stupidest thing in the world. The kids never get to learn that there's another kind of love besides sexual love. And that's so strange, because the kids are losing out on 99% of what love is all about. 99% of love is unconditional love and has nothing to do with sex. In fact, love doesn't have anything to do with sex in the first place. And do you ever make love in front of your children? What are you talking about? Do you make unconditional love in front of your children? Do you share with your partner? Do you tell them how much they mean to you? And what a joy it is to be with them, and how being in their very presence, you just feel uplifted. Oh, no. Well, why not? Because whenever you think love, you think passionate love. Well, now, I think if we just remember our dogs and our cats and how we can be unpassionate with them. Oh, passionate, yes. Oh, you're a wonderful puppy. You're a good little dog. But the sex idea of it is a million zillion miles away, if anywhere. And so what we want to do, I think, is to take this love that we are learning how to share and give to our pets, this unconditional love, and share it with our mate, our friend, our relation, people we meet. Have you ever had to kiss your auntie? You know, or your uncle, have you ever had to, now go give Auntie Batty a kiss, you know, you know. And that's because that's the way it was done at home. Now, if you go over and give them a loving kiss. Oh, you're a neat aunt. I just really enjoy you. And a big smooching, and it's not like, I want to go to bed with you. Because that's the term that we unfortunately mix up with it all the time. So if you could kiss your Aunt Betty and give her a big snuggle and a kiss and say, hi, Aunt Betty, nice to see you. I love you. You know, and boom, you know, let it alone. But no, we have to go give her a smooch. Now give her a kiss right on the lips to do the yuck, you know. She's just been smoking or she's been having garlic or she has bad breath or something like that. And of course, if you really love a person, if you really love, you don't smell the garlic, you don't smell the smoke, you don't smell the bad breath. It isn't there because unconditional love just washes all those things away. And you're not there for a permanent engagement. You're just there for a temporary love-in, and then you're off on your way to play. But you see, could we teach our children these things? Could we teach them how? By example. So if a man and his wife were to love each other in front of their children and have a great love affair, what would the children think? Now, you say, well, I wouldn't have sex in front of my children. Well, hey, in crowded communities where people, more than one family, all live in one room, and naturally they have sex in the room that they're having children, and they're, you know, the population's going up. But do the children, are they objecting to it? No, that's just something mommy and daddy do, you know. That's just something they do. And they don't even think that it's good or it's bad. They just leave it alone. Now, in our modern society, we don't run into that, but we do run into the fact that parents always have in their mind that when you say, I love you, that's sexual love. Instead of, I unconditionally love you, you know, you are the joy of my life, you are the greatness of my expression, you're fantastic, you know, not that I need you or want you, but I created you to be a lot of fun. Now, why do I have a dog? To have a lot of fun with him. To play with him. I don't have a dog because I want to feed him, because I want to take care of him, because I want to take him to the vet, and that I want to do this and that and the other. I have him because I want to have fun with him. I want to have him because I want to have a buddy along, you know, and a buddy that doesn't make demands on me. And a buddy that I don't say, now, are you taking the course? Are you doing the University of Healing Studies? What lesson are you on now? And, you know, this is what we do with other associates that we have. Where with our pet, we don't ask that question. We just demonstrate perfect love to them, and they demonstrate perfect love back to us. And we all are the winner. Think on these things. They're kind of fun. Wow. It is a joy. And I had planned another talk, but the other talk was not one-tenth as much fun as this one. Have a lovely day and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.